All right, Madison, thank you very much. Madison Rogers on newsroom duty tonight, doing a great job as always. My name is Dan Ray, and I'm the host of Nightside. I'd like to think I do a great job as always, but that's up for you to decide. Rob Brooks, who always does a great job, is back in the control room, and he will set all of you up tonight with calls into the studio, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. First of all, this is the last show in February. We have already gone through 2 months of this year. To me, it has just flown by, although there's been so much activity, and that perhaps is why. And we have a packed show tonight. We always have a packed show. Last night, we stayed on one subject for the entirety of the 4 hours, and giving people an opportunity pretty much to blow off some steam in view of the failures again yesterday of the Massachusetts Vax Finder website and the associated websites. But we're going to put that aside for tonight. We'll come back to that, I'm sure, next week. And in the first hour tonight, we're going to talk about, well, the word is conundrum, paying off student loans or forgiving student loans. We're going to dive into this really for the first time. I know that we have the one listener in Florida whose issue this is so important to, and that's Matt from Florida. And he has talked, I hope he's listening tonight, I hope he weighs in on this, because he is an advocate for forgiving student loans in some form or fashion. And actually, Matt surprised me a couple of weeks ago, talked about the idea of just eliminating the interest. The student loans we're talking about are student loans that people have taken for colleges, and I guess also for graduate schools, from loans from the federal government. And we're going to talk about that during the first hour. So if you want to jump on board, feel free. Then we're going to focus for an hour on Joe Biden with a couple of issues in front of us. There seems to be some confusion as to, well, there's maybe a lot of confusion, but there seems to be some confusion as to whether or not Joe Biden will be delivering a speech to Congress. Now, normally in February of every year, the President of the United States delivers the annual State of the Union Address. It is not called a State of the Union Address in the year in which a president is inaugurated, because for all intents and purposes, the inaugural speech serves as the State of the Union Address, although it's not exactly that, but that's what it serves as. However, I guess the last several presidents have also taken the opportunity on the heels of their inaugural address to deliver an address to the joint session of Congress. And it's generally done, again, at night at 9 o'clock. So far, Joe Biden's administration has not scheduled such an address. And some people are starting to ask why. And, of course, the other situation, which is kind of interesting, there were 31 members of Congress, all Democrats, who basically want Joe Biden as commander-in-chief to surrender exclusive access and potential use of nuclear weapons. We'll get into all of that at 9 o'clock. Then, at 10 o'clock, I think it's going to be a very interesting hour. We're going to talk about chronic pain and the hidden cause of what some are calling an autoimmune pandemic, and how to get healthy again. We're going to talk with Dr. Stephen Phillips and one of his patients, who is a fairly well-known singer and songwriter, Dana Parrish, who came very close to death as a young woman because her Lyme disease was not diagnosed by a slew of doctors. And at 11 o'clock tonight, this is Black History Month, and we have done several issues this month dealing with issues of Black Americans. And, of course, we will continue throughout the year to do that. But I thought, since this is the last show of February, one subject that I am always interested in terms of Black history is the Negro League, Negro League baseball. And there has been some developments this year in which Major League Baseball now is recognizing Negro League baseball players, many of whom were thought to be as good and in some cases better than most Major League players. And so that brings up the issue of Negro League baseball and its history. And we're going to be joined by a documentarian named Bijan Bain, who has spent so much of his life just studying this issue. And he was the subject of a great piece by Kevin DuPont in The Globe in late December about a couple of players who really dominated baseball here in New England in the 1920s and 30s, amateur baseball, but they also did a lot of semi-pro baseball as well. So we'll get to all of that, but let's talk about, first off, about student loans. Now, student loans are something that a lot of people are burdened by, and a lot of people have strong opinions on, but eventually the students who have student loans are asking the federal government to, in some form or fashion, give up and basically forgive those student loans. And some want upwards of $50,000 forgiven. Now, you might remember during the, I think it was the Iowa primary last January, a year ago January, when there was an Iowa dad who confronted our own senior senator, Elizabeth Warren, about her idea to, if she'd been elected president, I think the $50,000 in student loans would have been forgiven, which sounds great, but it's an additional burden on taxpayers. And more importantly, as this gentleman raises an issue in cut 142 here, Rob, just get ready for a moment, he basically, it's the sound is a little difficult to hear because it's in a some sort of a campaign event, so there's a lot of chatter in the background. But he's basically challenging Elizabeth Warren on her idea to forgive up to $50,000 of student loans because he worked two jobs, worked overtime, didn't partake of a lot of the finer things of life, if you will, in order to pay for his daughter to get through college. And he wants to know, he wanted to know from Liz Warren, if he was going to get his money back. So, Rob, just play cut 142. This will set the story up.
I'm having her turn.
Yep.
Hello.
I just want to ask one question. My daughter's getting out of school. I've saved all my money. She doesn't have any student loans. Am I going to get my money back?
Of course not.
So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us that did the right thing get screwed.
No, it's not even like that.
Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter worked, she was 10. So you're laughing. Yeah, that's exactly what you're doing. We did the right thing, and we get screwed.
I appreciate
that. That's all right.
So that's the real dilemma. Obviously, if you have a student loan, and you're paying off a student loan, undergraduate or graduate, I assume you like the idea of some loan forgiveness. What that means is that the government, all of us as taxpayers, are going to forgive your loan. Now, Joe Biden was asked at a recent town hall, I think it was the CNN town hall, as a matter of fact, about this very issue by a student or a former student who has a loan. And he gave a pretty direct answer. It wasn't the answer that I think the student or the former student who asked the question wanted. This is cut 149, Rob.
Student loans are crushing my family, friends, and fellow Americans.
Me too.
The American dream is to succeed, but how can we fulfill that dream when debt is many people's only option for a degree? We need student loan forgiveness beyond the potential $10,000 your administration has proposed. We need at least a $50,000 minimum. What will you do to make that happen?
I will not make that happen. It depends on whether or not you go to a private university or a public university.
So now we can dive into this after the break. If you have a thought on this, or an idea, or if you indeed have a student loan outstanding and you'd like to make the case, we're going to deal with this issue for just an hour. 9 o'clock, we're going to change topics, okay? So if you want to get in, 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. And if you're a parent who paid off your child's or your son or daughter's college loans or their graduate student loans or whatever you did, what do you think about this? You know, like the guy from Iowa, I think the guy from Iowa has a pretty good point. But I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. Hope you join it. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Ladies line open, 617-931-1030. Let's just get right to the calls, try to talk to as many folks as possible. If you want to tell me that, hey, I have a student loan or I don't have a student loan, you want to give me a little bit of your story, that would be great. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. By the way, Joe Biden, as I said, who said it's not going to happen with $50,000. He has, however, said that, you know, he's be open to 10. Of course, he has the left, the far left, including Ayanna Pressley, going after him. Rob, play real quickly. Cut 147. This is Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, who wants everything forgiven.
His press secretary walked back what he said at that town hall. First of all, he does have the authority. Congress gave him that under the Higher Education Act. So he absolutely has the authority by way of executive action to cancel $50,000 worth of debt.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Those of you who have debt out there, it'd be nice if people would cancel your debt for you. Steve is in Delaware. Steve, you're going to start us off tonight, first tonight on Nightside. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling in. How are you?
Well, I just looked up Wikipedia. I don't know how accurate, but it looks like Harvard University has a $41.9 billion endowment.
Yes, that is about right. And as a matter of fact, I have contributed to that endowment because I had a couple of kids who went there. So, yeah, they're in pretty good shape.
No, okay. So what if this? I'm against lowering the interest. I'm against you bought it, you signed up, and you do it now. It's just like a bad stock market thing or something you do. You're going to have to pay for it. And I don't see any loan. The only one is you get a loan that you're paralyzed from the neck down and you can't work and you owed student loans. Okay, you're not going to pay it back. But anybody else should pay it back. What about the kids that dropped out in 2 years? They just partied and woo, and they owe $50,000. We got to give them a free ride too.
How are you going to make the distinction? How are you going to say, oh, this was a party animal, so he doesn't? No, the party animal should get their loans forgiven too under this theory.
Exactly. And here's another thing: if they can't pay it, you can extend it, give them a little break on the interest. But they're on the call. They're on the call for future inheritance. What if somebody's father dies and leaves them $10 million and they owed $100,000 in student loans?
What about if the day after you your student loan is forgiven, you happen to hit the mega bucks and you don't? Let's say you don't hit the mega bucks for $20 million, but you hit it for a couple of hundred thou.
Right.
Should there be an exception? You raise great questions.
One more. What if, suppose I am a billion, let's say I'm a legitimate billionaire, and okay, I say, you know, I want my kid to do hard, I want hard love on him. I want you to, which I would do something like this. I want you to get a loan, Junior, and you're gonna do it the way I did it. I want you to, I'm not paying your way. You'll work for me when you get your degree, but up till that point, you're going to go the regular route. You're going to get a loan. You're going to pay it. You're going to work summers, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm a billionaire. Like, oh, hey, Dad, guess what? They dropped my loans. You know what I mean? It needs to be needs-based. Nothing is needs-based in this country. You just throw the money. Trump did it too. They throw the money up in the air, and people don't pay their loans. They don't pay their mortgages. They don't pay their rent. And we're going to be in a big problem with unfulfilled obligations. And
well,
we're going to be stuck.
Our congresswoman up here, Ayanna Pressley, one of our Congress members of Congress, she wants it to be needs-based. There's no doubt about that. Listen to what she has to say. Cut 148, Rob.
And who stands to benefit from that? 80% of the lowest income households stand to benefit from that. 40% of households who have student loan debt but never even earned a degree. Those who have been preyed upon by the deceptive business practices and predatory lending of for-profit colleges and universities. And Black student borrowers, Rev, 85% of us have no choice but to take out loans. And then we are five times more likely to default on those loans than our white counterparts.
Yeah, Ayanna sees so much through the prism of race, and I don't think that contributes to the conversation. If you're on the hook for $100,000, whether you're white or black, you probably are in a tough spot financially. And I empathize with that, and I think that what you suggested, maybe lower interest rates, eliminate interest rates, or whatever. That's where I would come down.
You're on the hook for life with it, okay? If we give you a time break, we'll give you a time break. But when you inherit your dad's house and you get whatever money, or somebody gives you money, or you hit the lottery, you're paying it back. It's zero tolerance. You owe that money. You're on the payroll forever with that.
All right, Steve.
How the colleges start giving the loans out instead? Let them make the loans out.
Well, I think that's a thought as well. There's a lot of colleges. Of course, unfortunately, a lot of the young people who have big time student loans, they went to some of these schools, including like Trump University. there were these schools that didn't give you much, maybe promised a lot. So it is a can of worms. It's a can of worms, Steve. Steve, I know you're a regular listener, a regular caller down there. Thank you very much. I hope the signal is coming in over the water into Delaware tonight.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. I do not want to shortchange anybody. We're just too darn close to the bottom of the hour break. So let me take that break now. If you'd like to join the conversation, you got the numbers. Ladies line still open, 617-931-1030. If you do have student loans hanging over your head, or you're a parent of a son or daughter who has student loans, love to hear your perspective on it. We heard Steve's. Steve's pretty close to mine. But let's... There has to be some way to approach this intelligently and just not wipe out everything and then have people who did it the hard way, including the dad out in Iowa, feel what a schmuck I am or what a schmuck he is that he did it the hard way. Let's go next to Lynn up in Draket. Hi, Lynn. How are you tonight? Welcome.
I'm doing well. Thank you. Pleasure speaking with you, Dan.
Right back at you. What's your thought on this?
I have a lot of thoughts. Well, my first thought is that it should not be a blanket forgiveness. My first thought is stop lending the bad loans, because we can't put a stop to it unless you do that first.
Yeah.
Secondly, my next thought is where is this money going? Do you know how much a university president makes?
A lot.
I think it's around 400. Oh, I think it's around
$400,000. Oh, some make $400,000, but I'll tell you this. If you're a university president and you make $400,000, you're on the lower end of the university president pay scale. Trust me on that.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And then also, too, the United States president makes, I think, something like $400,000. So
true.
Can we just call that into question, like in terms of like how much are presidents making, how much are athletic directors making? And I understand some of them really manage talent, they fill stadiums, they build in revenue, but we have to call that into question.
Well, how about this? I mean, when Elizabeth Warren was teaching at Harvard Law School, she was making, I believe the number that I've seen, and I've seen a couple of numbers, like $395 a year for one class.
Yeah.
That's not bad work.
I'm sorry. It's not worth that great. It's not worth that much. And then thirdly, I should say, is when I was buying a house, I was not offered a $500,000 loan on a $200,000 house. I think we actually do need to tie the loan to the career. So like if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to be a lawyer, you know, you have 8 years of schooling ahead of you. You know, certainly it's tied to a test, right? For medical or for law.
Yeah, law is better. Law is only 7 years. Trust me, from experience.
So, but I mean, there's something that potentially you could fail at the end, right? You know, there's a big risk in that loan.
Sure there is.
But like doctors, I know that doctors come out with like the biggest loans and they carry those loans forever. And they
are part of the reason, by the way, is that doctors, unless you're a surgeon, you don't make, a lot of people think doctors make a lot of money. But doctors do not
spend a lot
of
money.
Well, they spend a lot of money, but they also in their career, particularly if they're, you know, a general practitioner, they have a very comfortable living. Don't get me wrong, but they're not making huge sums. And when you get those doctor bills, A lot of those doctor bills are the physical structure, the hospital costs, the cost of the operating room, and all that. In terms of it's a huge investment.
Too.
Yep, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to make that clear for my friends who are doctors.
Absolutely, sure. And, you know, I absolutely respect that profession. Now, I went to college, and I got a theology degree. I did not make a lot of money in theology, like, surprise, surprise. But I did pay back my student loans, and it was hard. And I think nothing comes without sacrifice.
Yeah.
And if we're just like, oh, yep, just forgive them all, that's just such a wrong message. It doesn't. I don't think that sits well with every American.
It sits well with a lot of Americans. We're in a world now where we're opening up the borders, inviting people to come here. Jump the line.
Well, that's a different issue.
No, it is a different issue, but it's kind of the same. It's a similar mindset. Could I ask, where'd you get your theology degree? I'm just curious.
I went to Franciscan University of Steubenville. It's a Catholic university in Ohio.
Good for you. And did you?
And it was great.
Did you ever use the degree professionally? I mean,
I did.
You did? Okay, great. That's good to know.
Yep. And I worked with high schoolers for about 7 years, teaching confirmation and sacramental prep. And I loved the work. Just my life changed. I had children, and it was time to move forward.
Sure.
And now I'm working in software. So totally a different direction and field. But, I have to say, the only thing that you can tell in terms of somebody who is a college graduate and not a college graduate is kind of in their thinking, in their critical thinking. But for the most part, it's really hard to tell who went to college and who didn't.
There's a lot of college graduates who don't engage in a lot of critical thinking. I've met plenty of college.
I absolutely agree. That's my next point, is like, how valuable is college these days? You know, I live close to one of the largest vocational schools in the United States, the Lowell Vocational School.
Those are great schools.
And I have been calling electricians and plumbers this past year, and I'm writing some pretty big checks.
That conversation,
it has to be at the forefront of that. College is not the only way into a career.
The country was sold a collective bill of goods that you had to have a college degree to be successful. And there's a lot of great people out there who have small businesses, again, in the trades, who are doing very well, and they will never be without a job. Lynn, I gotta move here. I loved your call. Have you called me before?
I have.
Well, I want you to keep
calling. I love talking to you and listening to you.
No, but I really want you to call because
it
was a very, very thought-out call. Really good quality call. Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to Alan down in North Carolina. I do not believe I've ever heard from Alan. I don't remember him before, but let's see. Alan in North Carolina, welcome to Nightside.
Well, thank you. You have a good memory because I've never called before.
Well, what happens is with out-of-state names, I can pretty much remember out-of-state names with the states, okay? If you were David, I would know you have called from North Carolina. But thank you for listening, and thank you for calling tonight. Go right ahead.
You're very welcome, and I listen to you just about every evening. I have a couple of points. Your last caller was very articulate, and you had mentioned with the first caller that you had a lot of empathy for these kids that have a lot of debt. But my feeling is as follows. I'm 75 years old. I've been retired here in a town just 30 miles west of Asheville. And I went to school in Boston, and obviously a long time ago. And I took out government loans, and I repaid them eventually. It took some time. This is in the late 60s. But I finally got them paid off.
Of course, tuition in those days, Alan, was not anywhere near where it is today. You and I both know that. Where'd you go to school, if I could ask? I'm just curious.
Bentley.
Great school. Absolutely. Great school.
That's one of my observations. When I went to Bentley, I think I'm not sure how much tuition was, but I think I ended up with 4 years, maybe with $2,000 in loans.
Yeah.
And I look at what tuition is there now. I believe it's $40,000 or $50,000, which is truly ludicrous, because what your previous caller mentioned, what these presidents and officers and professors are getting paid.
Sure.
It's too expensive. But on the other hand, these kids are going into school knowing what the tuition is, knowing what the room and board is. Their parents know it. If they go in, they should pay it. or else we're going to be printing more money and more money. And this gets off the subject a little tangentially, but how much debt is this country going to go into? Because that's what we're talking about. If we're forgiving indebtedness, we're printing more money. And who's going to pay for this? So it goes back to that same cycle.
I'll tell you who's going to pay for it. It's going to be paid for the next two or three generations. That's the problem. We're basically, you and I are from the baby boomer generation. And yeah, I was a little bit behind you in school. I didn't go to Bentley, but I went to a state college and Boston University Law School. And I think that when I was in law school, I was paying, I think, $2,000 for tuition per semester, or might have been even been per year. The rate of inflation has been relatively stable. If you can, the only thing that has grown more quickly than college tuition, the only thing that I know of, are salaries for, you know, top level professional athletes. You know, shortly when you and I were kids, Ted Williams or Mickey Mantle made $100,000, and they were the top paid Major League Baseball players of the day. Now you got guys who are making
a lot of money.
Well, you got, there was back in the day, and you have guys now who are signing 10-year contracts for $400,000. Or I mean, it's now that's a different story, because those teams might go belly up, or ticket prices are going to go up. There's no federal money involved there, but the college.
I don't have a problem with that. That's supply and
right.
demand.
Right. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you on that.
Are they getting paid a lot of money?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
They're getting paid a lot of money. Are they worth it? Well, depends on how you define worth.
Right. Absolutely. But when you talk about colleges and universities, the colleges and universities have been flooded with money, Pell Grants and things like that. Relatively, you know, easy money. They give, the government gives out the money. Everybody's happy. But at some point, someone's going to pay the piper.
And it's the same thing with credit cards. It's just, you know, some people go into the season, the holiday season, and they spend and spend and spend. And then when they get their credit card bill, they say, you know what? I can't afford it. The credit card company has to forgive it eventually if they file bankruptcy.
Yep.
Or do something with forgiveness. And again, it results in the same damn bottom line, is that we that pay taxes will be paying more taxes, and we'll be taking care of our government debt. God knows for how long. And you said our children and grandchildren, if we're lucky.
Yeah.
If we're lucky.
Well, we'll be gone. We have the baby boom generation. We're going to leave it.
Oh, hell, I'm going to be dust over the Blue Ridge Mountains. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful place to be dust over. Alan, I got to run. Come on back pretty soon for become a regular caller here. I really would love to have you come back and call again, okay?
You have a good evening.
Thank you. No commitment there, but Alan gave you a good evening. We love callers. This is good. David and Rentham. Hey, David, next on Nightside. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dan. I got to say, I've been let me kill that radio in the background. I've been listening and watching you for better part of 35 years.
Well, thank you, sir.
I need you to set me straight on something.
Go ahead. I'll try.
I might have got my news stories mixed up today, but is Ms. Presley fighting to get me reparations because I paid my student loans?
I do not believe that reparations is involved in this conversation. I agree.
It's getting so out of hand, it's crazy.
Yeah, but it really
again,
is.
Again, just want to thank you for all the years of your service to Boston.
Well, I don't consider it service. I considered it a wonderful opportunity, and I'll hopefully continue to do it for a few more years. I think I have been blessed by working for, you know, some great companies, Westinghouse, CBS, and now iHeart. I've had a ball.
Dave Maynard and everything. It's sad. I go back way long time with it. Well, that's have a great weekend.
Well, you too, David. I appreciate that. Now, you got to call back. You got shortchanged on time, so I want you to call back again real soon, okay?
No problem. I waited 30,000 minutes. I'll do it again. Don't worry.
Is this your first time calling me?
It is.
Well, I got to give you a round of applause. Two in a row.
I think last time I called in, it was to David Brudnoy.
Yeah, well, that's a good 15, 16, 17 years ago, yeah, at least. God bless David Brudnoy and God bless Paul Sullivan. They were my predecessors.
Yes.
I said at the time I wasn't going to be as smart as Brudnoy and never as funny as Sullivan, and I think I've lived up to that, to those standards.
Well, as long as you don't reverse them, you're all set.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, David. Talk to you soon. Have a great night. David in San Francisco, as promised. Hey, David, what's going on tonight with you? How are you?
Okay, Dan. Yeah, I have 2 points. And my first was a question I had, and it was kind of answered by that first lady caller you had, of how the president can actually forgive that debt. And she said something about the something Education Act.
Yeah, that he had some authorization. She's correct. It seems to me if Congress gave him the authority, then he can do it. But he said pretty clearly he's not going to do $50,000. But, you know, he's been known to change his mind, as most politicians have at some point.
And my second point is Joe Biden's from Delaware, and that's the hub of the credit card industry.
It certainly is.
It seems to be that he took a lot of money from them when he was a senator.
Yes.
And
yes.
It seems to be that it would be pretty beholden to those people.
Well, again, a lot of the money that he would have the authority to forgive would not be credit card loans, but they would be loans given by the federal government. A lot of people got Pell grants and various student loans. But yes, he has. Joe Biden oftentimes was called, how they do the Democrat New York, Republican Kansas, Democrat Visa / MasterCard. Delaware is a place where a lot of companies like to be, major companies love to be incorporated in Delaware. They have no connection with Delaware, but they love to incorporate under the laws of Delaware, or I think it's also either North or South Dakota. I think it's North Dakota. They have some interesting protections. David, great to hear your voice as always.
Okay, buddy. God bless you now. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Absolutely. Stay well. Joe is in Virginia. We're bouncing around tonight. Joe, next on Nightside. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great. What do you think about this idea of forgiving student loans?
So I'm paying my daughter's way through college, and I'm not asking for any handouts or anything. If they help low-income families, I wouldn't have a problem with it. And the reason being, they help the banks. They help the auto industry. And I'm sure my taxes go to a lot of things that I don't like. And what I'll end with, again, I'm not asking for a handout. I got my year-end, my 2020 bonus today. It's not a gift. It's a performance-based. And when I saw what hit my bank account compared to what it was, I just want them out of my paycheck.
Oh, yeah. Well, so did you don't want a number, but did you get a good bonus for 2020?
I got the best bonus I've got since I was in the company.
Okay, and of course, the government took their share of your bonus.
A big share of my bonus.
A big share of your bonus, okay. It's better to get the bonus. You're further ahead of the game. I didn't get a bonus today or any day. So that's good. How much do you owe, or how much does your daughter owe on the loans?
We'll owe 80. She graduates in this spring, and we'll be on the hook for 80.
And where is she going to graduate from? I assume it's a pretty good school.
Virginia Tech.
It's an excellent school. Excellent. The Hokies, right? The Virginia Tech Hokies.
Right, but we're paying for that football team, too. That's another thing people need to know. When you pay that high tuition, there's always something there.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Does that football team make money for the school?
I don't know. I don't know if they make that much. They definitely haven't in this past year.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Of course they haven't in this past year. But one of the arguments of some of these schools on the football team is because of the success of the football teams, particularly the big schools, their largesse can subsidize some of the sports that are not nearly as legendary. They'll subsidize the rowing team. They'll subsidize the tennis team. You know, the teams that aren't generating ticket sales. So I don't know. What is your daughter going to do with her degree out of VT?
Public relations and sports marketing.
Good for her. Good for her. Good for her. Well, Joe, so you're okay. You're not looking for it, but if they send it to you, you're not going to tear the check up, right?
I won't tear it up, but I don't need it. I'd like to see them help out lower income families. So,
well, I got to tell you, $80,000, that's a hunk of change, Joe. And I'm sure, I hope your daughter appreciates what you and your wife have done for her.
That's only the half of it, Dan. That's just the tuition. If you've had kids, you know.
Oh, I've had two of them.
Dad,
trust me.
My car's breaking down.
Yeah,
Dad,
no, I get it. I get it. But, you know, God love it. You know, that's part of life for most of us is to watch a couple of one or two kids grow up or maybe even more. Thanks, Joe.
That's
right. I appreciate it, Joe. Right, we'll talk soon. Have a great night. All right. We're going to get Mary in Millbury here. The others stay in the line. I will get to you after the news. Mary in Millbury. Go ahead, Mary. Got a couple of minutes. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
Young. I didn't just get out of college, but I've been out for about 4 or 5 years. And I feel like for me, of my age group, I am probably one of the only or very few people who doesn't want it. I think that when you go to college from the second year, a senior in high school, starting to look and apply to schools, all through college, you know you're signing something to say that you are obligated to pay something back. It's clear what you're going to owe. I have student loans, but I knew going to school, that was my decision to know that I was going to have to pay them off. I just don't fully agree that they should start to forgive things. I think $50,000 is a lot to forgive. If you have federal student loans, that doesn't even count for, there are people who have tons of private student loans that couldn't get the federal loans, and they're going to get nothing.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mary, you've been out of school. I'm delighted that you called. Is this your first call as well?
It is.
Got to give you a round of applause, and I hope you continue to listen to this program. There is hope for the future. As long as there's responsible young people like you. Where did you go to college, if I could ask?
I went to Nichols.
Nichols.
So it's a private school.
I know Nichols College. We did a Nightside Live there at Nichols College. You're down in the Rhode Island border, right?
Yes.
Down in the road, kind of in the corner of Rhode Island, and you're in Massachusetts, but you're south of Worcester, pretty close to the Connecticut and Rhode Island border. I've been on your campus. It's a great school. And you're working, you got a job out of school, which is great.
Yes, and I guess I just don't understand. I mean, there's people I went to school with who are all for it. I just think we made a decision when you choose to go to college. I know people who didn't go to college because they didn't want debt. So how is it fair for us to get $10,000 and them to get nothing?
You're amazing. You're amazing. You will be a big success in your life. And Mary, do me a favor. I want you to keep listening to Nightside. And please continue to call. I really am honored to hear from someone of your caliber and your youth. I mean that seriously. We get a lot of callers across the spectrum, but you're really good. You express yourself really well. Nichols did a great job with you. I remember Nichols College very, very well. We were there a couple of years ago, and they were really great people. Mary, I got to run because I got the 9 o'clock news. Thank you so much. We will talk again, I hope.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. This is a great night for Nightside. We will continue right after the 9 o'clock news.